Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the great, wonderful opportunity to read Parshas Toldos, Ve'ila Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. The Torah tells us that this is the story of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avraham holded as Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. And of course, Rashi famously cites the fact that the late Sanei Hador, the jokers of the generations, used to turn around and make the declaration that they made a big deal of rumoring that Yitzchak was Abimelech's child. Now this is a crazy idea in of itself. And the Brisker Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to note that the bigger Chiddush was not mentioned when they were walking around offering their process, when they were offering their rumors, right? They left out the bigger rumor, which was even more incredible, and that is that a 90-year-old Tzari Imenu had a baby boy. Zemori V'Rabbi Rosh Hechter Shalita once told us that the world likes to claim that Jewish miracles are a bluff. But the problem is that you can't claim that Tzari Imenu had the baby. And so they turned their attention to call bluff on the conception. But of course, their arguments were pure leitzanos. They were designed to say that Jewish life is stranger than fiction. That's where the problem starts. Very often, people, the leitzanei hador, they will make it their business to do whatever they can, even though there are other greater opportunities to try to disprove things in the name of the world. But leitzanei hador are always leitzanim. They want things that will carry. And those things that they think won't carry, they don't waste their time on. And so even though they may be bigger chidushim, they will show the greater glory of Hashem, they're not interested in doing such an activity. By he Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana, Yitzchak was 40 years old, bekachto es Rivka. So when Yitzchak becomes 40, he enters the world of Bina. And Rav Gifter Zatzal explained that this was the time he wanted to be married. Because, as Rav Gifter points out, the goal of marriage is the continuity of generations. And that's the concept that Rav Gifter said is similar to the concept of Maven Davar Mitoch Davar, and being able to understand something Mitoch Davar, getting something out of something else. That's what Bina is all about. And so Yitzchak was 40 years old, Bekachto as Rivka. He was ready to go ahead and bring Davar Mitoch Davar into the world. Then, after the episode that happens in Grar, Yitzchak finds himself dealing with the issue of the wells. After all the storylines with the first two wells, he digs another well by Achbor Beracheres. He digs another well. Why was it that the first two wells had arguments about them, but this third one had no arguments about its ownership? Question has to be raised, why magically did this magically happen? So Rabbi Lam Shalita Shaver Fuashlema quoted his uncle, who noted that in the first two cases, Yitzchak left the digging of the wells in the hands of others, by Achberu, the Pasuk tells us. And as a result, those wells led to Asek and Sitna, hatred and arguments. But once he did the job himself, the well he dug led to Rechovot. It led to a willingness to work by himself to expand the world by committing his own energies, his own talents, his own concerns, and his own participation to the task. And the same thing is true for each of us who commit ourselves to that mission in life. If we commit ourselves personally instead of sending a shaliach, so then that's when there is atakir chivlanu ufarinu baritz. That's when great things happen to us within the process. The main theme, the main issue that comes up in the parsha, of course, is the story of the brachos. And of course, Yaakov Avinu goes in and he takes the brachos. And after he takes the brachos, Esav comes in with the tzayid that Yitzchak Avinu had told him to go prepare. And then when Esav comes in, all of a sudden, Vayecharad Yitzchak charadog yedolad ma'od, Yitzchak gets greatly terrified. Now what was Yitzchak Avinu's great fear? So Reb Chaim Sabato Shalita, the Rosh Yeshiva and founder of Male Adumim, suggests that Yitzchak's desire was to connect to both his children and keep them close, so that you can place them both under the Kanfei HaShechina, under the wing of the Shechina. However, Hashem showed him that the son who was so callous that he sold the Bechorah for a mere bowl of lentils is the one who does not get the power of the Brachos, nor the responsibilities from the world to uphold their uniqueness. and thus terrified that he was almost mistaken, that he almost himself haphazardly tossed away the brachos, he immediately turns around and says, Gam Baruch Tia, Gam Baruch Yia, he should also be blessed, the one who took the brachos, because he realized that his particular perception up to this point was blinded, no pun intended, by his desire to keep all of his children close by. So Esav understands and recognizes the situation, and he says, Barcheni gam ani avi, my father, you should give me a bracha as well. Well, notice that Esav never asks Yitzhak to taste his food as well. Why not? Why doesn't Esav turn and say, you know, avi, yochal mitzedi as well? So Rav Nebenzahl Shalita explains that Rashi notes that the day was Pesach, and that when Yaakov fed Yitzhak, he partook of the Chagiga and then the Karban Pesach. And we hold, in Maftir and Achara Pesach Afi Koman, we say that there is no eating after the Karban Pesach. And so therefore, Esav knew that Yitzchak wasn't going to eat. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, added, by the way, that when Yitzchak says to him, Ba'achicha b'mirma, the gematria b'mirma is afikoman, and thus we see that Achicha, your brother, came with the Karban Pesach, and I can't eat anymore. So Rivka hears the story, and she says to Yaakov Avinu, that she wants him to listen, Ach Shema Bekoli Yatzacha. I want you to listen to my voice. And Rashi explains that Rivka learned of Esav's intentions against Yaakov, utilizing her power of Ruach HaKodesh. Still, she never revealed to Yitzhak Avinu about that Ruach HaKodesh when she explained why she wanted Yaakov sent away. And the question has to be asked, why was it that she did that? So Ravolbi Zatzal explained that we learned the tznius of Rivka and the choice of her actions over here. But Ravolbi added that Rivka Imenu used a different reasoning to explain things to Yitzchak because she wanted to explain more of her thinking only as needed. And Ravolbi says, look, sometimes the full reasoning for a decision doesn't need to be explained when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim. It should be enough of a storyline in of itself. Finally, at the end of the parsha, Esav marries another person, Vayikachas Machalas Bas Yishmael ben Avraham. Right? That he marries Machalas. Now, later on in Sefer Bereishis, Machalas is referred to as Basmas. And Rashi explains that we learn from here that one who gets married, she's a Mechilas Avonos, that's why she's called Machalas. So why is Esav the one who teaches us about this Mechilas Avonos? So Rapam Zatzal explained that when Esav got married, a thought of tshuva passed through his mind. Even a wicked person has the ability to do tshuva. And so therefore it's from this wicked person that we learn that a chassan also has the ability to achieve a Mechilas Avonos. And it should serve as an inspiration for us as well. Finally, the Haftorah from Malachi tells us, at the end of the second pasuk of the Haftorah, we hear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Yaakov, and then we read that he hates Esav. Now, why is there a need to highlight the fact that Hashem loves Yaakov and hates Esav at the same time? I mean, they're two sides of the same coin. Could the choice be any different? So Moshe Lichtenstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, explains that the Haftorah opens with love, but it ends with fear, because love without fear is not a legitimate possibility. It diminishes the glory of a Kabbal Shamayim and the meaning of love in the process. It's not by chance that the Rambam puts Abbas Hashem and Yiras Hashem together and refuses to separate between them. But the actions of Am Yisrael, who express their astonishment over the absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, they reveal that they don't really understand the essence of Yiras Hashem. So after giving them the Tochacha, the Haftorah turns to the Kohanim and it guides them how to give Kavod to Shamayim by speaking about the fact that there's a Bris and the Bris is built on Yiras Shamayim. That the fact of the matter is that in that process, a person should understand that the foundation of Yiras Hashem will allow Abbas Hashem to find its place, and then we'll be able to fulfill the bracha, Ivduas Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'ra'ada, that we need to serve Hashem with fear and rejoice with trembling. Life is not necessarily as black and white as Esav and Yaakov. Yiras Hashem is a process that requires a wider range of understanding. And therefore, it is possible to love Yaakov and to love Esav. It's not like being a Mets fan and a Yankees fan. A person needs to understand that there is a gap once one's dealing with his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Speaking of relationships to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we rendezvous with them on a higher level when we get together and wish one another a Shabbat Shalom to all.